Good afternoon. It's great to be here with you guys. As Sophie's mentioned, I'm Mark. Actually, I'm James. And we're looking at James. No, we're looking at Mark. If you want to join me, the reading is from Mark 8 on page 955, beginning at verse 1. It's Mark 8, beginning at verse 1. Mark writes, "During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance.' His disciples answered, 'But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?' 'How many loaves do you have?' Jesus asked. 7, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground, and when he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told his disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. And having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha." Guys, I have to tell you that whenever I hear of a miracle, I'm reminded of this story about this farmer who was out in Wales, and he lost his favorite Bible, I guess, when he was out on a hillside. He was restoring a stone wall, and apparently, 3 weeks later, a sheep walks up to him carrying his precious Bible in its mouth. And you can imagine that the farmer is amazed by this. I mean, he cannot believe his eyes. And apparently, he raised his eyes and his arms to heaven, and he just shouted out, "It is a miracle." "Not really," said the sheep. "Your name is written on the inside cover." Wow, you're a tough audience. Maybe I should stick with the script. And as you know, the script is from Mark's Gospel. And we've been doing over the successive weeks a series of looking at Mark's Gospel. And I think you'd agree the story that we just read is quite an amazing miracle story. And I'm sure most of you, probably all of you, are familiar with that story. But I have to confess, when I was preparing this talk, I was sort of praying about it, and I'm saying, "God, is there something more that you want to tell us through this story? I mean, I get it. It's an amazing miracle, but is there something else that you have to say to us?" And with that, I really began to start thinking about the broader story that Mark is telling us, the bigger progressive story. And you'll remember that it really begins with Jesus' ministry, doesn't it? With the appearance of John the Baptist. And then we continue to read through this progressive story of Jesus' preaching and his teaching and the miracles and the encounters that he has. The story progresses onto his entrance into Jerusalem, his trial, his horrible crucifixion, and then ultimately, thank goodness, hallelujah, his divine and just awesome resurrection. And in the middle of all of that, guys, is this miracle story that we just read. And I think we can probably choose to look at that story in isolation, which is fine. But I wonder if we need to look at it within the context of Mark's broader narrative. And so this is an important question, or I think it is, that I want to raise with you today. How often in our encounters with Jesus, are we really taking in the bigger picture? So with that question in mind, I'm going to ask you just think back. It doesn't matter whether you're here or not, but if you think back, some while ago in Mark chapter 2, we read about another amazing miracle. It's the story of the paralyzed man who got lowered through the roof. Do you remember that story? One of the things that you may not remember is some of the words that Jesus spoke before the miracle. And the reason why I mention this particular event is because I think that from that miracle story, we really do get an understanding of Jesus's view of earthly miracles. Before Jesus heals the man, he says this: which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? Guys, what Jesus is saying to his doubters is this. He says, you're thinking that anyone can promise forgiveness. You're thinking that anyone can make promises about a better life in heaven. But if you're really who you say you are, then do the impossible. Heal this man. And then Jesus goes on to say to those doubters, if you want to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth, I'll give you proof of that. He says, so that you may know that my words are true, that my promises about eternity are true, that I am who I say I am, I'll give you a sign. And critically, to show you that my power and authority comes from heaven, I'll do what's impossible here on earth. Now, friends, I don't doubt for a moment that Jesus performed his miracles out of compassion for people. But there's no doubt that he also wanted miracles to serve as signs to point people to the truth of his promises and to the truth of who he was. And when you stop and think about it, there was never a disease that Jesus couldn't cure. There wasn't ever a birth defect that he couldn't reverse. There was never a demon that he couldn't exorcise. There was never a crowd that he couldn't feed. But he did meet people who, despite all the miracles, despite all the signs, they still doubted. They still lack faith. And we see that again here today in the story that we just read. Let me explain. In verse 4, we read that the disciples said to Jesus, where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed all these people? Now, that question probably seems fair enough if we're reading this story in isolation. But as I've said, we're not reading it in isolation. We need to look at the bigger picture, the progressive story that Mark lays out in his gospel. Because when we do, we'll see back in chapter 6 that Jesus has already miraculously fed 5,000 people. And the disciples were there with Jesus when he had 5 loaves, 2 fish, and fed the multitude. Okay? So I'm wondering, how on earth could they a short time later forget that? Instead of questioning Jesus and saying, Jesus, where are we going to find any food in this remote place? I'm kind of thinking, why didn't they say something like this? No food, no sweat. Jesus is here. He's right here. Come on, Jesus, you did it before. You can do it again. This is easy peasy, right? And so I'm reading this and I'm thinking of the disciples, what is wrong with you guys? What a bunch of faithless losers. And no sooner do I think that than I'm reminded that I too am a faithless loser. And I'm convicted by the weakness of my own faith. Guys, I'm standing here before you as I was going to say old, a relatively mature Christian. And over a lot of years, I've experienced, well, actually, that's not even right. It's more than experience. I have witnessed the power of God. I have witnessed miracles. And still, I find myself doubting and questioning Jesus. So it's probably easy to kind of criticize or even mock the disciples in their reaction. But how many times have I expressed my doubt and disbelief to Jesus despite everything that he's already done and despite everything that I've already seen? Jesus has shown me signs that point to the truth of who he is, and still I wonder. And that's probably why my favorite prayer in the whole Bible comes in the next chapter of Mark's progressive story. Because I'm that man who cries out to Jesus, Lord, I believe. Please help me to overcome my unbelief. And it's really in those moments that I do thank God for his patience with me and for his understanding and for his love. And so, friends, what's the one message I really want to leave with you today? Well, it's this. Whatever impossible situation you are facing, whatever doubts and fears you have, please look at the bigger picture. Look at the progressive story of Jesus, where his story has come from and where we know it is going. Because when we focus just solely on the difficulties that are immediately in front of us, we're robbing ourselves of the peace and the confidence that can be ours when we look at the bigger picture, the bigger story that is Jesus. Jesus has sent us signs of his power and his authority. And in the present moment, whatever it is, let's not take our eyes off of Jesus and what he has already done. And because we know of what he has already done in our past, we can believe and trust in what Jesus has promised to do in our future. And so together we can say, Lord, we believe. Amen.